It's 6:20. This is KERA News. I'm Justin Martin. A congressman from North Texas is one of the Democrats staging a sit-in in Washington right now. Mark Vesey of Fort Worth is among several dozen members trying to bog down the House of Representatives. John Lewis of Georgia is leading them.
We're calling on the leadership of the House to bring common sense gun control legislation to the House floor. Give us a vote. Let us vote. We came here to do our job. We came here to work.
The Republican majority responded by declaring a recess, which cut off the House cameras and microphones. So now, the only way to see the drama is to follow along on social media. Now, we turn to the political drama that's playing out across the Atlantic. Britain will vote tomorrow on whether to exit the European Union. It's known as Brexit. The fallout from that vote could have major implications all the way to Texas. Harold Clark is a professor at UT Dallas who studies Britain's politics and economy. He gave KERA's Rick Holter a Texas tutorial about Brexit.
Let's start with some basic definitions. First, the European Union.
Yeah, the European Union is an organization that has grown up involving now close to 30 European countries. It is a major power economically, and over time it has gradually expanded its political remit, its political mission, well beyond just being a free trade zone like NAFTA or something like that.
And right now, Britain's a member, although it doesn't use the euro for currency.
That's right. Over time, a number of countries have expressed reservations about the growing political power of the European Union and its perceived threat to overwhelm the domestic sovereignty of Great Britain. And so one of the things that was debated about 15 years ago now was whether Great Britain should join what's called the euro and have a common currency with other European Union countries. And the decision was made not to do this.
So if British voters decide to leave, what actually happens?
That's, I think, one of the things that's not quite clear in practice. However, there is a two-year process for a member state in order to exit from the European Union, but this would be the first time. This would be a test case, and of course, a lot of people are worrying about the political and economic instability that would flow from the decision on Thursday should Britain decide to leave.
Now, is there a parallel between the Euroskeptics in Britain and the Tea Party in the U.S.?
Yes. I think one of the things to note about politics is the rise of populist sentiments, sort of the us against them, the ordinary guy, quote unquote, against the big economic and political elites that are said to, you know, to really run the world. And you can see that very much in the States. You can see it in Britain, in particular with the rise of the so-called UKIP party, United Kingdom Independence Party, which is the closest analog, really, to right-wing populists, sort of, you know, Trumpists in this country. The UKIP forces have long advocated leaving the European Union, primarily to protect Great Britain from immigration, from what they see as a flood of immigrants into the country. So there are very strong parallels between the political debate in the United States and in our current presidential election campaign and what's going on in the UK and elsewhere in Europe.
Let's bring this home a bit. Why should a Texan care about Brexit?
Number one, there will be economic consequences from Britain leaving the EU, which, of course, could set in train the breakup of the organization more generally. It's certainly not impossible, given public opinion in some other countries like France and Italy. And, of course, economic instability in the West and major democratic countries. Trading between Texas, the economic links with the UK are substantial.
Yeah, I've read that Britain is the 11th biggest landing spot for exports from Texas
yes,
in the world.
Yes, indeed. And, of course, there are political ramifications. International instability in Europe is not a good thing, as we have learned painfully. And so Texans have reasons to be concerned about this. The ramifications, political and economic, though, will take a while to play out.
Harold Clark, thanks for taking the time.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
Tonight, we'll find out who's made the semifinals of the Clyburn Amateur Piano Competition in Fort Worth. These competitors all have day jobs. The one thing they share, a passion for the piano. Art and Seek's Hadi Mawagdi learned that it takes countless hours of practice to call yourself a Clyburn amateur.
If you're a professional pianist, it's common to travel the globe performing, especially if you can play like this. Here's the thing, though. That's no professional. That's Jorge Zamora, a contestant at the Clyburn International Amateur Competition, and he's traveled from Mexico City to perform in Fort Worth this week.
The word amateur in Portuguese, which is not my language, but it's called amador, and it means someone who loves. So the people that are here are music lovers, and they have to play.
The Clyburn's amateur contest was created to help spread a love for classical piano music, and Zamora, who had stopped performing to focus on his career, is exactly the sort of person they were targeting.
I started to be self-conscious about playing in public and more and more and more, and then when I realized 10 years had passed, I found out that I could enter the 2011 Van Clyburn Amateur Piano Competition, and that's when I started to perform again in public.
Jacques Marquis, the Clyburn CEO, agrees the contest can bring piano lovers back to the Keys.
They are doctors, lawyers, engineers, mothers at home, and some, they love the music, they love the piano, and they decided to participate because they have a desire of sharing the music.
Take pianist Yumi An. An is an attorney in Singapore. But she started playing piano when she was 5 and trained intensely until she was 19.
I was determined to be a concert pianist, but I sort of decided in the end that I just didn't see myself making it as a soloist.
An stopped playing and focused on her legal career. But some late-night TV surfing brought her back to the piano.
I didn't know these amateur competitions exist, you know, until I watched this documentary, They Came to Play. It's like a random coincidence, just, you know, just going through, you know, stuff on the Apple TV. And so I was like, okay, it's probably meant to be, so I'm going to do it.
An isn't the only contestant back from hiatus. Colleen Aiden from Vancouver, Washington, also had ambitions of being a soloist. But she shelved them to raise her kids. Now, she's ready to return to the stage and show off her stuff.
I really want to play in a way that might just reach inside somebody and kind of tug at a place that they haven't had tugged before.
The contestant's passion resonates with the audience.
They have a great advantage over professionals that they can be much, much more adventurous in what they perform. They don't have to worry about ticket sales.
That's Wayne Lee Gay. He's been writing about classical music for 3 decades. He's covering the competition for the website Theater Jones, and he says the performers are playing what's important to them.
I see people playing what they love to play.
Kenny Saka, a software engineer from California, is a perfect example.
If I get to the final, well, Mozart concerto, I mean, third movement, that's going to be so much fun. You know, it's going to be a crazy ride. It's going to be fast and it's going to be sizzling. It's going to be a great party time, so I hope I get there.
Isaka thinks classical music is one of humanity's greatest achievements, and win or lose, he's delighted to play his phrase. Hadi Mawagdi, KERA News.
The quarterfinal round ends tonight when the field will be cut to 12. The final 6 will play all day Saturday. Find out more at artandseek.org. Tonight, you can expect mostly clear skies. Should be a low around 78. Tomorrow, sunny with a high near 96. And tomorrow night, mostly clear with a low around 77. It's currently 93 degrees in Dallas, 96 in Fort Worth, 93 in Tyler, and 98 in Wichita Falls. It's 6:30. This is KERA News.